are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is 10 minutes after 11, and we're speaking with Pastor Daniel Hamunyangwa about building and nurturing the church family. Today, we want to focus on handling conflicts and disagreements, which cannot be avoided. Anytime you have more than one human being in any kind of space, there's going to be conflicts and disagreements that arise. Am I right? And so even the close families experience those kinds of disagreements, and the church families are, of course, no different. Differences in opinions and misunderstandings and even past hurts can create division if they're not handled with wisdom and grace. And so the Bible provides clear guidance on resolving conflict and maintaining peace among believers. But how exactly do we apply these principles practically in today's church? Our pastor will be answering some of these questions for us this morning. My pastor, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome back to our topic of discussion this morning. Yes. As we look at nurturing the Church of God and things which we find in the Church of God.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So, Pastor, let's just begin by outlining some of the biblical principles that can help us to navigate conflicts within the church family.
Amen. Thanks a lot, my dear, for this discussion this morning. Actually, it's a very important topic also this morning as we look at conflicts and other problems which the Church of God face, or the family of God which face. Now, tomorrow I'd like to maybe to start with Ephesians chapter 4, reading verse number 32.
Okay.
Where the Bible says, that's where our base maybe for the first question of answering it. Mm-hmm. 32, the Bible says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Mm. So according to this verse, Paul talks much about forgiving one another.
Right.
And if you are to forgive one another, if there is any conflict among you, yourself, and maybe with your friend, Paul talks about forgiving one another. You know, you cannot do this, madam, unless you first look back to what Christ has done for the family of God. If you look, Christ forgave us all. And when he died, he said, "Everything is finished," including our sins, including our hatred, including even divisions amongst ourselves. Mm. So from the time when Christ died, we started afresh now offending one another. Right. Now, as we offend one another, then Christ has also given us a way through Paul, in which Ephesians talks about forgiving one another, in which we need to be tender-hearted to one another. Mm. And this can be just done if we lower ourselves to understand that we are together and we are one in Christ.
Mm.
So you cannot do that if you don't realize that we are one in Christ.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Sure. And the major problem, maybe before we even proceed, the major problems which I've seen even on this same issue of forgiveness, you know, there are some people who are, you know, I don't know how they look at others, you know, how they look at others. You know, it's like them to forgive is something very hard in which they don't see any value of any human being to be together in that way.
Yeah.
So as you see this text, it brings us together to be tender-hearted to one another, meaning we are one in this body of Christ.
That's very important. That's very important. Pastor, when I think about that, I imagine that in our relationships, if we could look at the other person and acknowledge that if the roles were reversed, I would probably be that person. Or if it was not for the grace of God, could be that person.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Actually, you remember what Christ told about Peter. When Peter was talking to Christ, you know, Christ did not see Peter, but he saw Satan in Peter, in which he said, "Satan, get behind." You remember that text?
Yeah.
You know, Christ looked at, he did not just look at Peter, the general looking, but he saw somebody in Peter who was actually answering those questions, in which then Christ said, Satan get behind. Yeah. So as we even face all these conflicts, we should not just look at human beings in general, but we should look something critically that there must be something which is delivering this person to be in this state.
Sure.
And these are the conflicts actually people face or we face in our daily living or our daily lives.
Yeah.
And these are the things which brings divisions amongst ourselves.
And so how can we approach disagreements in a way that will strengthen our relationships rather than divide us?
Exactly. Actually, I like even that one. You can even see that also the Bible is very clear. The whole idea about, you know, about all these things is to bring everything at one point so that we understand one another. Okay, let me draw again you maybe to the book of Romans chapter 15, reading verse 1 and 2. Okay. Listen what the Bible says. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You know, it's very interesting. You know, in all these disagreements, there are some people, you know, when you actually, maybe if I could give you an example, if you are in conflict, meaning, you know, sometimes there is a tendency in which no one wants to come down. Everyone wants to be strong.
Yes.
So now, in that kind of somebody to be on top or to be strong, so that he can be seen as a strong person, not to be a weaker person. You know, Paul does not speak that language in that way. Actually, you know what Paul brings here? It's about those who understand when there is a disagreement, those who brings down and lift up maybe the problems of the weak. Now, you know, there are times in which maybe you can come together to help the people. They are in disagreement, two of them or three of them, or maybe four of them. So you as maybe who understand these things, you are to help them to understand that it's Christ who brings them together. So all these divisions are created by the devil. Actually, the whole idea of God, it's about unity, but the devil is about divisions. So when we see all these problems and what is happening, so we are to bear the problems of others to please ourselves, not to please ourselves, but to help them so that they come together. Look at verse number 2, what it says. Let every one of us please his neighbor. You know, I like this one. It's my duty. It's my duty, madam, as a human being, to please my neighbor. Actually, you remember who is your neighbor? Every person is our neighbor. Everyone, madam, who needs help is our neighbor. So it's my duty to make sure to help that person so that he is in the right sense and we are together in Christ. So it's our greatest part as Christians and as us who understand these things to help one another in this way.
This goes completely against the worldly teaching that it's all about me. I must take care of myself. Each man for himself.
That's the thing. Actually, as Christians, we don't work like that. We work for each person. You don't have to see just yourself to be better than the other person. Yes. Actually, you are to see the other person to be better so that you are all together in one, as Christ has called us.
Sure. Now, that then speaks to the aspect of humility and forgiveness. Let's touch on that a little bit. What role do humility and forgiveness play in resolving some of our conflicts?
This is very important also, madam. You can see that we have been looking at how we should help one another, those who are weak in problems, and then be tender-hearted. Now, look what Christ talked about, humility and forgiveness. Actually, let's look at what Matthew chapter 6, what the Bible says, reading verse 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 6, reading verse 14 and 16, the Bible says, for if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Humility is very important, madam. You know, the problem which we have in this world is thinking of how important you are. You know, no wonder even you remember that story of the two men who went to pray in the temple.
Yeah,
he even pointed at the friend saying, that one is not better than me. There was no humility. There was no humility or the spirit of helping. You know, Christ here talks about forgiving one another. And that is the greatest role. And once you do that one, meaning the Heavenly Father also, which is God, will forgive you. Look at verse number 15, what the Bible says. But if you forgive not men their trespass, neither will your father forgive your trespass. Meaning God will never forgive you if you don't forgive your fellow human being.
So
it's my duty. Actually, it has, you know, I've remembered of one text where Christ says, you know, Peter was asking Christ, how many times should I forgive my brother?
Hey.
Then, you know, it's not just one day. It's actually your daily life.
Yeah.
That is part of your life, madam, to forgive. You know, if you start counting to say, yesterday I did this and I have forgiven this one, and then you're not a Christian.
Yeah.
The Christian life is everyday forgiveness.
Sure.
You know, we forgive, we show our brother that this is the right way to live, then that's the better way to go. Yeah. If we just say, yesterday I forgave you, and today, it's something different, and we don't know what we do.
I mean,
humility
is
very important to solve this.
I hear you, but just to cut you off for a moment, it's one thing, it's difficult enough to kind of to forgive someone for that one wrong that they've done against me, right? That's hard enough. But now when someone is doing something repeatedly, in fact, there's a comment coming in here saying, don't we run the risk of ending up being a people pleaser that derives their self-worth from being a people pleaser? Is there a way that we can do all these things, take care of our neighbor, be there for our neighbor, please our neighbor, but still avoid being that people pleaser who ends up deriving our value from that, sometimes even more than our value in just being a child of God?
Very true. Madam, you know, the other problem which we have, we can forgive, but we don't show people what is right. Actually, you know, the right method of forgiving is you forgive and then you show the brother that this is the right way to go. You know, sometimes you can forgive that person not knowing that he or she might not be doing it deliberately, but maybe you need to show him that this is the right way to go. With all these things, then you can see that forgiveness brings the better fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, we just forgive. We say, yesterday I forgave you. Then you forget about that. Then we should have time even to show these people the right way to go, so that at least such things are not repeatedly done. Sure.
I think the only difficulty with that then would be that we are assuming that the other person is repentant and wants to stop doing what they're doing, but the requirement that we have to forgive is even for those who are not sorry, we must forgive them also. And that part, my pastor, is very tricky.
That's the thing, madam. Actually, you know, we should not be assuming that that person has repented.
Right.
You know, repentance, you know, madam, is an everyday thing. Actually, Paul says we fall down and we rise.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning whatever we do at the end of the day or before the end of the day, we have to ask God to forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we shouldn't just look at this point to say, okay, that person says to you, sorry. You know, sometimes you might be right. Then you just have to show that person to say, I'm sorry, my dear, or what has happened for us to reach up to that much. You know, just to show that person that you know what you are doing.
Right.
It carries a lot, madam.
Sure.
You know, most of the things and most of the times which I've seen, people just like to say, you know, when somebody wrongs you, then you expect that person to say, sorry, my dear, sorry.
Yes.
You know, some people don't say sorry to you,
yeah.
But you just have to say sorry for what has happened.
Hey.
Then you see the way forward. Sure, madam.
That's why they tell us that it sure. is a divine thing. We cannot do it in our human power.
That's true, madam. Actually, it's not done by a human. You know, as human beings, we do error every day. Mm. Then the divine power comes in to help us to understand. Actually, that's the role of the spirit. You remember in John, Christ says, I'll send the Father will send the helper, which will remind you of these things, not yourselves.
Now, how can leaders and members work together to prevent small conflicts from becoming major divisions? You know, just a tiny little thing that can be resolved quickly sometimes ends up creating huge rifts in relationships in the church. How do we avoid that?
That's very true, madam. Actually, that's the other greatest problem which we have. If we see John or maybe Jack is doing something, we usually, you know, it's like we raise even our voices. Oh, he has done all this. Right. But, you know, we should have a spirit to help one another. Look at what Matthew chapter 18, reading verse number 15, what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. 15, the Bible says, I'll just read number 15. Moreover, if your brother or trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. And look at the word which follows, alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained your brother. Mm. You know, sometimes there are some things and issues in which we don't need even people to know them. You just see somebody sinning, or maybe somebody has gone somewhere astray, you just can go help that brother quietly. Mm-hmm. And after doing that quietly, you forget about that. Actually, that will be your best friend, because you'll be the reference, actually. You'll be talking about you to say, that person has helped me a lot. Mm. If it was not that person, you know, that's how at least things should be working. Right. We shouldn't all the time as leaders maybe to bring all these people. Maybe they've done something to church boards and business meetings. Sometimes there are issues in which we can finish them just like they are. Yeah. Then we are done. We forget about that rather than bring them all these things. And remember, some issues, when you bring it out open, some people feel so much ashamed that if it is going to church, then that will be the end of it. Because you will think of that thing. But if you do it privately, you solve the issue, then it's done. And then you find a brother or a sister. Sure.
Would you say there are some things that are better left alone, or would that be dangerous to leave certain issues? As in, do we have to address every single disagreement, or are there some things that we can just decide for ourselves? You know what? I'm just going to let that go. It's fine. Agree to disagree.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or is that dangerous to do that? Do we have to address every single disagreement in case it gets bigger?
Actually, yeah, there are things, madam, in which you can just do these disagreements. Actually, you have to do it sometimes in a way that it's actually privately. It's done privately. Okay. You know, there are things in which sometimes if you see the brother maybe going to a astray, you go and help that person to avoid divisions. If you see that maybe he or she does not agree, the Bible says you take even the second person, try to bring that person down or to tone down, so that at least you will find a brother as to avoid these major divisions. Yeah. Actually, you know, like this question, I've seen some things which are just left like that. Even in church, there are some issues in which maybe there is a case. Now, that case is supported by some people, and then there is a division. People are not agreeing on that case.
Yeah.
So now how it happens sometimes, that other group will be pulling, and the other group will be pulling. Mm. And then, guess what? They are just waiting for October and September, where we choose church. You know, church.
Yes.
Church posted. And we say, no, us. We don't want this elder.
Yeah.
What's the problem? No, this one we don't. You know, such divisions. Yeah. So if they are left out, they divide the church.
Hey.
The church of God is divided with such kind of issues. So you find people in church grouping. These, They have grouped themselves. Where is the problem? Some leaders, you know, as leaders.
Yeah.
Actually, as leaders, we have to be very careful to embrace every Jim and Jack in church. Otherwise, once you start trying to divide the people, then you see them with great divisions in the church of God. Maybe. Sure.
We've run out of time, Pastor, but in the
let's
just take about 2 minutes just to talk about how we can handle situations where reconciliation seems to be impossible. How do we do that?
Oh, very good. Let me maybe talk, let me quote from Proverbs chapter 17, reading verse number 22. I like this verse, you know what it says. You know, sometimes actually, as Christians or as believers, you know, it's very important to understand one another. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22, 17. The Bible says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So, you know, sometimes the way we answer our brothers and sisters, you know, it does not bring, you know, they just feel so neglected the way we answer them. But if we show them very tender-hearted, we answer them in a right way, you know, that's part of embracing them, to bring them just closer. You know, you can even have divisions, but the way you answer your brother and sister, then he will feel that, oh, this person knows what he is doing. Sometimes we answer all these things, it's very dangerous. Actually, even Christ talked about it in Matthew chapter 5, reading verse 9. Let me read this last verse. Matthew, look, I like what Christ talked about too, for this issue of divisions and the way we look at our brothers and sisters. Yeah. That is Matthew chapter 5, reading verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Mm. That is our greatest role as Christian, madam. We are to be peacemakers in whatever case, in divisions, in wherever we go. The greatest part is to have peace with your brother, knowing that this is the major role for us as human beings to do, and to bring others in the family of God. Be a peacemaker wherever you are. You will see that the church of God is growing. It's growing.
Absolutely.
How do we become peacemakers? By being tender-hearted to one another, then we become peacemakers in the church of God. Sure, madam.
Beautiful. Pastor Hamunanga, thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll be connecting again tomorrow, same time, same place, to continue our conversation.
Thanks so much, madam. Be blessed, madam. Thanks a lot. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.